my mother and daddy built a house. I helped them build this house. And, of course, they moved out. And we moved into the home place. And then we borrowed money and built a total new milking outfit, like a milking parlor and new silos, more big silos and areas for the feed silage and lounging barns for the cows to sleep in. And we also, I think we rented more land then. And really over the years, instead of putting money in the bank, we've always bought land. Mm-hmm. Any that we could get around, which is now it's paying off now with the value of land coming from Chapel Hill. You know, it's been hard. There are lots of times we thought, well, and we're still doing it. See, I'm buying my sister's part, so we're still struggling. You know, paying for land, but. We sold some last year that we paid $1,200 an acre for. We sold it for $5,000. So, you know, I think it's paying off.
Yeah.
So you just struggle along a little harder. Banks can fall, but land doesn't go anywhere. So that's kind of my feeling from that.
Well, what were your and your husband's roles on the farm after you came back to run the farm?
Well, I pretty much took care of the house, unless it was a thing like hay, that we had to have extra help. I always went help. I'd bale hay or get up hay. But other than that, unless the hire help left, I didn't help milk. But if they left, I did.
And did your children help?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They used to get up and feed calves before they went to school. The two older ones did. Now the two younger ones had asthma, so I guess I got softer. I didn't make them get up, but the two older ones did. Got up before they went to school and fed baby calves, and they helped milk last month.
What has been the hardest thing about farming for?
I think in the last 5 years we used to make pretty good money, you know, but. In the last 5 years, they've taken out 50 cents here and 50 cents there, and I think it ended up about $2.50 a hundred that they've taken out in the last 2 or 3 years, and that was your profit, plus getting help. You know, it's been very difficult, and then my husband has high blood pressure, and in the last 4 or 5 years, he wasn't physically as able on the farm, and the kids, the two boys, wanted to farm, but they didn't want to put forth the effort that we had put forth. You know, it's kind of farming, but if I have a date tonight, you know, if something breaks down, I'll fix it when I get through. We didn't do that. You know, if we had a dinner date or something, we stayed home and fixed it before we left. And so it just got to be such a hassle that I just thought it was time to give it up.
Do you think, I've heard this before, just last week talking to someone, that she spoke of the dedication that it takes to farm that people don't have today.
They don't have it today. They don't. Yes, we bought and raised a bunch of spoiled bread. All right, the government, you know, took out like 50 cents a hundred one time. Then it came back and took out another 50 cents a hundred. It was money that was taken out of our checks and given to the government to help them, I guess.
Per
100 pounds of milk.
Okay.
Which amounts to a whole lot of money, you know, in a month. Like it would be a few thousand dollars a month that could come out, like say if your milk check was $18,000 or $20,000 a month, maybe there would be $1,500 to $2,000 and be taken out for the government.
Is that just a tax?
Well, they came up with this program, couple of years ago, or two or three years ago, that they was going to take this out. Agriculture, you know, had gotten in such a bad shape that they were taking this out to help with the. It was not a tax, but it was almost like a tax. It was taken out through the dairies,
mm-hmm.
like Pine State would take it out, and then they would give it to the government. But just, I think, this past month, the dairies have increased the price like 75 cents per hundredweight. And so, see, that was your profit that had gone.
Up until then, did you and your husband enjoy farming?
Yeah. Well, I think basically the thing that, you know, the children not being interested, because we'd always thought about passing it down, although as far as the home place now, I do not intend getting rid of the home place. Now, this other land that we've acquired, it wouldn't upset me to sell that, because
mm-hmm.
some of it we did sell this year.
Mm-hmm.
Back on the back side.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as my home place, I don't want to sell, and of course none of the kids want it sold. You know, they want us to keep the farm. Like, it's just going to keep working by itself, I guess. So that, actually, this government program that they had this past year, you know, that they killed up all these dairy cows for beef, we would have made more money had we sold our dairy cows, you know, and had them slaughtered for beef, then we got with leasing out this farm. But I wanted the farm to keep in an active farm
right.
as long as it can.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking about the dedication, you know, of the next generation. Is farming really hard work, or is it just that you have to be there all the time?
It's really, really hard work,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
But if you like it, you know, you don't think anything about the work.
What are the rewards?
Well, the rewards is to have a good crop, you know, and good cow that produce a lot of milk. And this, I really feel sorry for the boy that leased our farm, because the weather this year has been a horrible year.
Yeah.
And his crops are terrible. And you know, it's really mind-boggling, and it's really nerve-wracking. When this, I always notice when planting time and harvest time comes, you know, my husband used to get really teed up and nervous and high-keyed, and nothing was right. I mean, you just kept your mouth closed and fed them good and tried to help them. Because, you know, they was trying to get the corn planted before it rained, and the ground was right, or either they was trying to get it harvested before it rained and got too muddy, or something happened to it.
Mm-hmm.
And see, if you have all this money that you've put, I mean, up in the thousands of dollars that you've put in a crop, and, you know, a hailstorm or something can come along, or it can get so muddy you can't get in the field to harvest it. It is nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a gamble. It's a total big gamble. So you've got to be dedicated to put up with it.
What is more personal with a kid? You've got to enjoy it. What is there about?
Well, you're your own boss. I think that's one thing. I mean, you're doing at your pace what you want to do. But you know what you've got to do to make it work, and you just are proud of what you accomplish. It's a self-satisfaction thing. But I think in this area now, land's getting too valuable for the return of farming. It's going to be very difficult to farm this high-priced land out here. So we sold some of the 5,000 acres. There's no way you can get a return back from farming on $5,000 an acre land.
Right.
So I think it's, I hate to see this farm family, you know, go around here, but I think it's the demand of expansion, I guess you'd say, from the towns.
Mm-hmm.
And we just happen to be in an area. Which we went out west last year, and you know, I feel like that we're extremely lucky to have this valuable land. Out there, they're going broke, and their land is not worth anything. So at least we've got the land to fall back on. Out there, they've got nothing.
And either way, it means the demise of the family farm, either because the land is too valuable or it's not valuable enough.
So you wonder who's going to feed all of us.
What do you think about this? They call it agribusiness or factory farms where that, you know, it's just...
I don't think it's going to work. I think you've got to have your devoted family farms to really make it go.
Why?
Because those people, you know, if they get, they can strike, they can walk off right in the middle of a, when you... Like the grapes, you know, when they're right, ready to be picked, and they're no good. So I think you've got to have a family farm to survive.
Do you think animals respond better to more personal care? Do you think it matters?
I think they probably would respond better to... They get used to people that surround them. And they get used to different music. I know it's pretty much proven that cows don't milk as well on rock and roll music as they do on country music, or real car music, you know. Yeah, rock and roll music seems to upset them. Sounds crazy, but it's right.
Do you think that there's any
always discuss. We always have discussed anything because there's one thing that I learned when my father died. My mother had always helped him work, but he did not have everything in both their names. So we had to go back and pay tax on her share of the land, which she had helped work for all her life, which to me seemed very unfair.
Yeah.
So everything we have is in both our names.
Uh-huh.
We have always discussed any major decision, unless it's something like a piece of equipment or something, but certainly any major changes like buildings or land or anything, we always discuss. Buying cattle, selling cattle.
Unlike your mother and father.
Well, it's gotten to be a much bigger business than what they were into, you know. And like I had told you before, I think it's important if something should happen to him that, you can't sit there and let your cows wait until after you have a funeral or after somebody goes to the hospital. I mean, that afternoon they've got to be milked. Next morning they've got to be milked.
Right.
So I think reality is reality. You face it, and you be willing and able to do it. So to me, this has just been an important thing for a lady to know how to do, which I could, you know. Pretty much the last 3 or 4 years we had the farm, I pretty much ran the farm.
You did.
Because Well, he had high blood pressure, and he just did not feel good. And he had a lot of trouble getting regulated on his medication. And he just kind of gotten tired of it. So I wasn't going to let it see it fall through.
So what did you do?
I did whatever needed to be done. I ran the farm, you know, pretty much all the decisions, and I hired the help. And I pretty much made all the decisions that was made. I usually went and asked Kim Lou about what he thought. And I know one time our help walked off, and that was the last year we had it, so we both had to go back over there and start cutting silage. But I think one of our sons was here, the other one here then, and us three went over there and started cutting silage till we got some more help in there.
Did you do any of the milking?
Yeah. So I usually had someone that helped milk, but during the harvest season of cutting silage, you know, someone needs to stay in the field and work. So I'll go ahead with the milking and let them stay in the field and work.
So up until those past few years, you were primarily responsible for the house while your husband was responsible for the farm work. But you made decisions jointly. How would you describe your role then? Would you describe it as a joint partnership?
Yeah, I think so. And then if he needed me to help him, you know, I knew how and would help him. But I had enough to do at the house.
Did you have a garden?
Yes, and I froze and canned and froze, you know, cooked a lot, cooked three big meals a day. And so we always had three big meals a day cooked. So that's pretty full time right there.
And so for the children.
Yeah.
When and why did you decide to branch out into other
business? Well, I had a neighbor that finally talked me into taking art, and that was about 11 years ago. And evidently, I did pretty well. In fact, my instructor thought I did much better than she could do. So I entered a show at Mebane, and I won, actually it was the second painting that I ever painted, which I still have that painting. And so I won the first place in the oil paintings for the show. So I decided, you know, I'd always kind of like, I used substitute teaching school too. So I kind of like to teach, so I decided, well, some people had asked me about taking, why not teach art, you know. So I said, okay. And so I asked them up at the Technical College of Alamance, you know, about teaching art. And actually the day my daddy died, I was out getting my art class, going around visiting neighbors, getting my art class organized when he had his heart attack, you know. And they didn't find me for about 3 hours. Night, so I was out getting my art class together. And I started teaching after I had been taking art less than a year, and I've been teaching ever since. So,
what shape was the farm in when you decided to teach?
They had nothing to do with the farm, you know.
It was going fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's
it was going fine. It was just one of my extracurricular activities that I see. I'd always. That's nothing new for me. I used to be in the garden club, and I used to be in the help with these 4-H children. I'd take them off, you know, on a overnight stay, or either I always went to stay 4-H week, and Rollin stayed a week, and Mama would help with the smaller kids. So it was nothing new for me to take up a new something I wanted to do. I've always been a little bit independent, I guess.
And this was before your husband had health
problems.
Okay, so you took the classes, but now you've got a business out here on the 54.
Well, I started selling, you know, I started putting out paintings in restaurants and things, and I loved it. It was great therapy, you know. If you had something that was really worrying you or something, you know, you can just paint and draw and forget the whole world. And so it did get to be, you know, a business, and I had some friends that were artists and said, why don't you build a studio? And I had another friend that displayed my work in Hillsboro and sold right much for me that suggested I do an antique shop. And the art, and she's an elderly lady, but she was going to do the antiquing in, which I built the shop. And we had a few things together, and I bought some antiques, and I was in a process of learning about antiques, too. And I was teaching art and displaying art, too. So she lived, I guess, about 3 years. So I had to take over the antique in and the art in, too. Now I look back then and think, how did I run the farm, teach art, run the hunting lodge, because there's Charles has a hunting lodge, and sometimes there's people that he wants me, hunters that he wants me to cook meals for, and I lease that out for weddings and barbecues and that kind of thing. And I look back and think, how did I do all this? But I did.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Did something have to do?
Well, the farm was the biggest problem, you know, due to hip. And I would go there and see the cows getting out, and I'd try to get the fence fixed, and everybody promised me all these things, and they wasn't coming through, and I'm one, if I want something done, I want it done, you know, and do it right. Don't make a mess of it. And so I just, Charles had tried to get me 2 years earlier to sell the farm, which if we had sold, we would have made some money, you know, on the cow and all. And which now we've taken a pretty good beating on it, but still it's running as a farm. It is a monthly income.
Mm-hmm. Well, were your children grown when you started off into the art?
Well, Sarah's 23 now, so no, she wasn't exactly grown. Not exactly.
But this
she's a teenager.
It grew out of a hobby. Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I had my oldest girl had gotten on drugs in high school, and I was really, really, really down, you know. And my friend said, you know, you need to do something for you. So that's when I started to take an art. Mm-hmm. It was great therapy.
Yeah.
And then I just knew what it had done for me, and I felt like. And then my mother was older, and I felt like it was good for my elderly neighbors, too.
You were talking about the lodge that your husband runs.
Mm-hmm.
When did he begin that?
Let's see, we built this 6 years ago, and we built that 3 years ago, mm-hmm. going into the fourth. This will be the fourth season this year for that.
Was that when you decided not to?
Well, I had had a big urge to build a restaurant out here in front of this shop. And so he said, you know, let's do this thing. He loves to bird hunt.
Uh-huh.
And let's do this thing of building a shooting preserve and a, you know, house, a lodge, rather than that.
Uh-huh.
Because the restaurant business wasn't quite as good then. I didn't want to run it. I just wanted to be a woman.
Right.
So anyway, we was trying to get some things, you know, that we could do after farming, you know.
So you were already thinking?
Thinking in terms of where to go after giving up the farm. So that's kind of how that idea came about. So that's, And this year, rather than having a open membership of people coming, you know, when they want to come, we're leasing it out to just 10 members. It's a private lodge this year. But he's leasing some more land somewhere else. And they have a hunt club, and then people come and pay, you know, to go out and hunt. So they will have another place probably in 3 or 4 miles from here that they can keep the people that's been coming to hunt. Because a lot of people come and bring their children, which is good, out to hunt. And I hate to, although financially it's a better thing to lease it out to these 10 attorneys and professional people than it is to sit there. They'll have a schedule then, you know, each person will know which day they're to come and hunt for the whole hunting season. And that'll be easier on him because he'll know he's got certain hunts certain days. And this other way, you know, they might call that morning and say, I want to come this afternoon. They might call a week before. Well, you never knew.
Right.
You know, you had to be there to
right.
answer the phone. So this, I think, will be much easier.
Well, when did y'all decide that you were going to get out of the farming business?
Well, he'd been trying to talk me into it about 5 years. And I didn't want to give it up. But finally, I just decided last year I'd had enough.
Last year?
Yeah. So So we leased it in December this past year.
Did he want to give it up before he had health problems or after?
No, it was probably about the time he had health problems.
Just hard to get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep it going.
Yep. Just a lot of stress and all. And dealing with a thing of no help. You know, it's been hard to get help, dependable help, for 10 years now.
Right.
So it's been gradually building up.
Uh-huh. You don't have families like you used to. Do you, like, family help you could leave on?
Well, it's like I said before. Oh, you mean like the black families?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No.
Single men.
The last that we had was single white men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they would drink a lot, you know, and you couldn't depend on them. You never knew where you were going to have to go milk or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not worth it to me. Not the little return that you get. It was just like recycling money.
Yeah.
You know, you had your bills. There has been some months that there wasn't enough in the milk check to take care of all the bills. And then maybe the next month you'd make a little bit more. So it's just got to be too much hard work and too much responsibility for the return that was in it.
Would you say that's the biggest change on family farms over the time that you've seen the family?
Yeah, now if you got enough children that are interested in, like, son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws that's interested, I think that's the only way you can do it.
Right.
You know, that you know you can depend on, but if you got to depend on hired labor, no, you can't do it.
Are there any other big changes that you've seen over the years in farming in general, on farm life?
Well, I think that's probably the biggest change right there, and then too this thing of industry coming in and population explosion, you know, moving on out. I think that's probably the biggest thing. I think you have to move with the changes.
Has mechanization changed farm life a lot?
I think it's made it easier. But you've got to be more educated as how to use all of this fancy equipment. And one thing that you can save money in if you are mechanical minded and can work on this equipment, because when you take it back in, maybe you can't find parts and can't get it fixed, and it'll sit in the shop for a month or 6 weeks. And see, you've got an awful expensive piece of equipment sitting out there doing nothing.
Right. Is that one of the problems you talked about? It's harder to make a profit farming. Is one of the reasons because of the machinery?
Well, the equipment is awfully expensive. Like a tractor, be $35,000 to $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you could have a nice house almost for that amount of money. That you got in one tractor.
Is it worth it?
Huh?
Is it worth it?
It's not to me right now. Well, I mean, if you got a farm and, you know, they think you need all this stuff and like all the push button stuff, you know, people in town have this idea that all you got to do is down there push buttons. Well, if you aren't there, it's not all push button either. You know, it's a lot still got to be done, but you got to know how to work on it if it breaks down. Because you can't feed anything. Your feed's all tied up in these machines, you can't get it out of it. It's kind of like a broken down computer. Pretty basic, it's the same thing. So, I mean, it's not all fantasy that people think it is.
Do you think there's any hope of relying less on machinery?
No, I think you'll have to be mechanized to keep up with the times, to get it done quicker, you know.
Definitely.
And I think farmers will, I guess, they'll just have to move on out a little bit for this towns to expand.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I see that they can do. See, in this area, we have to have bigger equipment than they have to have down east because of the red dirt. See, down east is sandy soil.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take a small tractor, less expensive tractor, and plow a field for less money than we can up here because we got this hard soil.
Mm-hmm.
So then we got to have a bigger piece of equipment.
I have one other question about the 4-H and home demonstration club that you were active in.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something important there to pass on?
I think so. I think 4-H is really good training for young people. 4-H just got some really good programs to train young people in. One is public speaking. A lot of them are for girls, like your cooking and your sewing demonstrations. And I think that's good. It gives a person the experience of talking in front of public, which